Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Dhena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah.
This is a verse written by Shriman Kushakrata, who is a great pundit in ISKCON. He passed away a few years ago. He basically joined the movement, learned Sanskrit, then locked himself in a room and translated tens of thousands of Sanskrit verses and wrote tens of thousands of original verses. And this is one of them, about seeing the fierce army of illusions put forward by the forces of Kali Yuga. Srila Prabhupada has released an unlimited shower of powerful arrows in the form of his books. And so we've come here to this transcendental military center where I can feel the energy, the leadership of Jayantai Prabhu, and the other leaders in the greater UK area, and all of you working together are making a huge impact in the universe by taking this stand individually against the force of the material senses and the normal course of activities that dictate a mechanical way of going through this life due to our past conditioning and karma. Rising above that, and also going out into the world and interjecting the holy name, the transcendental vibration, into the closed system of this universe and bringing the light of the spiritual world through the transcendental literature distribution. So I feel very fortunate to be here at this historic place with all of you at this particular time, just a few minutes after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has left the world, a few seconds after Srila Prabhupada has left, and all of you have been sent here to help spread the Sankirtan movement, whether you personally realize it or not at this particular minute, you were asked to come here to help spread this movement. So I'm very fortunate to be here with you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
This is a Sankirtan orientation session because you either frame or you be framed in this world. You either frame your reality or someone will frame it for you. Maya will make so many suggestions. So you have to reiterate your goals and your purpose in life. So orientation is very important. And it spells SOS because it's urgent. It's the most urgent of missions in the world. This is a menu of what I'll talk about in the next few minutes. Our legacy, the four laws of book distribution, by following which you will be able to distribute as many books as you wish. You may develop a book distribution empire wherever you live. You may live in a house or an apartment, or I should say flat, or in a cave, or you may be homeless and live on the street. You may be a diplomat, or you may be a student. It doesn't matter where you are. If you follow these four laws of book distribution, from starting from nothing, you can develop a Sankirtan empire. And we would like to have this happen all over the world. Then we'll talk about the monthly Sankirtan festival, and I will also teach you a method of distributing the Bhagavad Gita as it is, that's infallible. You'll be able to distribute a Bhagavad Gita to anyone, anywhere, at any time without fail, and I guarantee it, or your money back from today's seminar. We're coming in the wake of the great souls. We are actually receiving from them a gift. That's a bequeathment, and therefore it's called Sampradaya. Sampradaya means gift-giving. It means to give the complete gift. And this is our legacy. We've been given the greatest of gifts. And our duty after that is sublime. We have a lifetime of giving gifts to others, the best gift that there is. When you give, you grow. And when you give the best gift, then that best of gifts grows within one's own life. Srila Advaita Acharya, one of my personal heroes, he's actually Mahavishnu, or some say Sadashiva, or some say a combination of Sadashiva and Mahavishnu. And in any case, Mahavishnu, Sadashiva both have some relationship with the material world. Mahavishnu glances over the material energy. And Yashaika Nishasita Kalam Tavalam Vyajivanti Loma Vilajajabananata Vishnur Mahan Sahi Yashakala Visheshu Govindamari Purushanta Mahamajami. With his exhalation, he manifests all the worlds, and with the inhalation, they're wound up into his transcendental body. His purpose is to give every soul a chance to go back home, back to Godhead. That's his mission. In fact, it's mentioned near the time of destruction. Where is it mentioned? Fifth canto. That's the Lord becomes a little annoyed that the living entities haven't taken full advantage of all the opportunities that he's given for them to go back to Godhead. Prabhupada writes in his purport in that section that this span of life that we have, 311 trillion years, wealth of the Lord exhales, is an opportunity for every soul to close down their little business here in the material world. Everyone's got some little enterprise going on. Just like in India, there's these rows and rows of little wooden shops where they sell these little rolls of what is that stuff called? Pan, masala. You put it in your cheek, you chew it up, and then you spit out the side of the car. It's part of the car, and then the pavement leaves a red mark. Betel nut. And they have little rolls of that. And then there's 1,000 little shops in a row. I have no idea how they make money. And whether it's a big Arab sheikh with a Four Seasons hotel that he bought with pocket change, or whether it's somebody who owns an airline, these are all little pan shops. They mean nothing. Asanguchayam Purusha, Vedas say, you have nothing, little soul, to do with this material world. Close down your little business here. Divest yourself of the interest in the material world. But the souls are engaged in kind of trance. It's a mutual and consensual trance to stay absorbed in nothingness here in the material world. So, Advaita Acharya, who's Mahavishnu, feels deep, deep compassion for the souls who are engaged like this, and he calls out to the Lord. So this is the process of sankirtan. One has to imbibe the mood of Srila Advaita Acharya to feel compassion for the souls of this world. Well, in fact, one should feel compassion for oneself. One should feel that somehow or other I've fallen into this material ocean. And let me have some mercy on myself by fully embracing the process of Krishna consciousness. And then let me have mercy on all others by following the footsteps of Advaita Acharya. So this shows how sankirtan can take place from anywhere. If you've been to his home, or you see him sitting there in Shantipur, you'll notice that it's a remote place. It's out in some orchards, and the Ganges used to flow there, but it was a very quiet place. But how did he start the sankirtan movement? He just prayed really hard. He thought of a verse from the Shastra about how if you give Ganges water and tulsi leaves to the Lord, then he'll sell himself to you. He's so obligated. And so he would do that, and he'd call out that the Lord, please appear. And that's how you start a sankirtan party. You have that feeling of compassion, and you pray to the Lord. And Prabhupada, when he started his program, he did the same thing. He didn't have any resources either, but he just prayed. And Prabhupada told later the formula. He said, if you have an order to spread the sankirtan movement and it seems impossible, and everyone has their own impossibilities in life. For some, just walking out the door seems impossible to go do something. Doesn't it seem impossible? In fact, because I might come to the seminar and then when time's to come and walk out the door, I might think, I think my mom's calling me. I think she needs a peanut butter and jelly sandwich really quick. I got to go home. I'll be back in a few hours after it's all over. So we have to pray to Krishna, please empower me. Please help me. Prabhupada said, if you have an order to do something and you don't know how to do it, he said you pray, how can I do? How can I do? How can I do? Okay, I'm going to try it.
How can I do?
And if you continuously pray like that to Krishna, call out to him, he'll manifest personally. He'll show you how to do it. He'll show you how to fulfill the order, because that's what he wants. So this is how the Sankirtan movement started. All glories to Advaita Acharya. Now, what happened? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. And you can go to the place where he appeared, right there at the Yoga Peak. And it's such a... all the Adi Lila of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you can read about the glorious appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this world, the most munificent incarnation of the Lord. So, as he manifested his pastimes in this world, he revealed the Sankirtan movement in the process. And fortunately, it's very simple. There's only two parts. One part is chant Hare Krishna. The other part is teach others. Okay, so let's review. Part one is
chant Hare Krishna.
Part two is
teach others.
One.
Chant Hare Krishna.
Two.
Teach others.
One.
Teach others.
One.
Teach others. Teach others. Teach others. Teach others. Teach others.
That's it. Two parts. It's a very simple movement, so it can pass on. You can spread this to any town and village, because if a organization is very complicated. It's difficult to pass on to other people, hard to duplicate. But this one's simple. It's only two parts. You can pass it on anywhere. So that's just what Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda did. They opened a marketplace for this, chanting Hare Krishna and teaching others. Now, marketing is a specific science because it requires quantitative and qualitative reasoning skills. It requires a lot of consideration. How to market something. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission was to spread the Sankirtan movement to every town and village. And here you see, or maybe at this point you don't see, it's avyakta, the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing down the streets of Miami, Florida. And this is actually a common scene nowadays. Previously, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas in India, upon hearing that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission would spread to every town and village, thought, maybe that means to every part of India. Because no one could imagine how it could possibly spread across the ocean and come to the Western countries, what to speak of all over Asia and Africa and so forth. Inconceivable. But this is the magic of Sankirtan. If you say, how can I do? How can I do? How can I do? And you pray, call out to the Lord when you chant your japa, please empower me to spread the Sankirtan movement. Then he'll find a way for you to do it. And each individual can take that responsibility. There's unlimited engagement in the Sankirtan movement to do this. Is everyone okay? Everything okay over there in the technical booth?
Do you mind if the lights are on?
I don't mind anything as long as you're all happy.
You can still see the booth and you can still see the screen.
But okay.
Because we can't see you on the
screen. Who knows what's going on?
Sorry.
Not at all. Is everyone happy still?
Yes.
On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the happiest you've ever been and 1 being you're really bummed out. How are you right now?
11.
11? Okay. All right, then I'm happy too. Lord Chaitanya's movement becomes hidden. After Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left the world, the movement became hidden. And this happens a lot in the material world. Lord Krishna tells Uddhava in 11 Kandas from the Gautam that although he preaches the pure message of bhakti, after some time it becomes distorted, because that's the way the material world is. So you don't have to freak out when stuff gets messed up in the Hare Krishna movement, because it always does. That's the way the material world works. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement became hidden, but it never goes away. In 1891, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the great powerhouse of bhakti, appeared, and then he renewed the marketplace of the holy name of the Lord. He brought forth the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and began to reveal them to the intellectual people of Calcutta and then beyond, and then began writing about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, sending his books across the ocean to luminaries like Emerson and Thoreau. And one of those books ended up in Canada. He was sending across the ocean. This is a clue how the movement could spread from the subcontinent of India and then go all over the world through these little vessels that hold these spiritual idea seeds that spill out from the books, because books are containers. And when those idea seeds spill out, they go into the hearts and minds of people everywhere, and then they grow up into the plants of bhakti. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur then, taking up the mood and method of Nitai and Gaur, at Sur Bikunj, he opened a marketplace of the holy name and he declared it's now open. He devised a marketing scheme, many of you have read that, where he has employed everyone in a particular job to help spread the holy names from house to house, from family to family, from city to city, and then all over the world. Not only that, he was praying as well, just like Advaitacharya. He was saying, how can I do? How can I do? How can I do? And he prayed to the Lord, please let an empowered soul, he called a ray of Vishnu, appear within my family to help me spread the soul of the Lord. You can ask for things like that. You can say, oh my Lord, please send somebody to help me spread the Sankirtan movement all over the world. Please help. And he also predicted, he was a spiritual visionary, he said a personality will soon appear who will spread this all over the world. Those who are invested with the power of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they have this kind of vision because they know the power of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they experience it in their own lives, and they know how it can affect others, and they know how it can affect the whole world, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And by the way, there's nobody better than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is the best of all. And he's Krishna, but he comes in the mood of Srimati Radharani, in the mood of a devotee to spread Krishna consciousness. So one can derive the highest benefit of life within all the three worlds, all of the spiritual world, by worshipping the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through the process of Sankirtan. So you are in the right place at the right time. Give your whole heart and soul to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. A personality will soon appear. Did he? Absolutely he did. Now meanwhile, the pure vibration, even though the message may become obscured, always goes on. There's always pure Vaishnav somewhere. Like Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, an example of going on with the Shudhanam, keeping that vibration going. Prabhupada mentions how when you make this vibration, it goes seven times around the earth. So when you're chanting, you can remember this, that you're actually, even if you stay in one place and you chant Hare Krishna, you're having a positive effect on the world. Once the GBC of Hong Kong, there was a lot of trouble there, and there was no participation, he ran out of money, he closed the center, came to Vrindavan and told Prabhupada to close the center, Hong Kong. Prabhupada said, go back, open an office, sit down and chant Hare Krishna. Keep it going. Keep the vibration going at all costs. That's a good mantra. Keep the vibration going. Everyone say,
keep the vibration going.
Yeah. Just, if all else fails, and it will, keep the vibration going. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was that ray of Vishnu who made that ocean of Sankirtan spread all over India. It's amazing what he did. All over India, the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was being taught by his emissaries who were highly qualified, highly trained devotees he sent out to every part of India to spread the Sankirtan movement. Then He sent a group to Burma. He sent a group right here to England. And his vision was to spread it all over the world. So when he met Abhay Charanaravinda, one of his Grihastha disciples, at Radhakund, that sacred place, you can go and walk there and remember this pastime. This is the most esoteric of pastimes. This is real Raghunatha Bhakti, the spontaneous devotional service, what Srila Prabhupada did. This is the Ragatmika Bhakti, when one feels so inspired by the power of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Holy Name, that you're willing to get on a boat with no money and go to a country you've never been to with nobody to pick you up. That's spontaneous devotional service. And his spiritual master imparted this Shakti to him at Sri Radhakund. He said, if you ever get money, print books. He was a little discouraged with the Gaudiya Math at that time because of the way devotees were coveting the space in the newly formed temple there at Bug Bazar. It was a fancy temple, and the devotees developed a sense of entitlement. He didn't like it. He liked the sense of selfless preaching to spread Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. So he told this to Abhay Charanaravinda, who later became the world-renowned Acharya, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So Prabhupada said to us, I took up this from his mouth, that he was very fond of books. And this is a great secret of life. If you take up from the mouth of Lord Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, the spiritual master, the Acharyas, what it is they would like, and you just embrace that as your heart and soul, then you will be successful without doubt. So Prabhupada led the charge, and look at that picture with him holding the Bhagavatam high as he comes riding into the harbor in New York City with the Bhagavatam raised high in the air. And he spread that market all over the world, to every continent of the world. And before that happened, look at his first pamphlet, which was at a time when he only had the first canto of the Bhagavatam in 3 volumes. He says 60 volumes of elaborate English version. And then, before he had any money or any connections anywhere, he said all over the world for scientific knowledge of God. So he was thinking big. And anyone can think big when they're backed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So here was his plan. By printing books, we can actually inject our movement into the masses of people all over the world. Yes, there are quotes here and there, but I compiled the choices of quotes and tried to string them together in a comprehensive way, along with the history of Prabhupada's activities in India and also when he came to America, to show his special penchant for book distribution. Is everyone all right? Is there enough air? Take a deep breath. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama Hare Hare. I'll do part two next break. So this is the plan. How do you like the plan so far? The plan. How do you like the plan?
Arriba!
So you like it about, on a scale of 1 to 10, you like it at about a 3, right? What do you think of the plan?
Arriba!
Correct. So, print as many books as in many languages and distribute throughout the world. Here's something for you. Assalamu alaikum. Alaykum salam. Marhaba kifilaka umdula allahu akbar. This is in Arabic, and this little mantra is on the back of what is the first of many cards we're creating now. And all you have to do, in fact, it helps if you don't speak any language. All you have to do is know the language somebody else speaks and hand them a book in their language and maybe say one word of greeting, and then show them the card. And as soon as you show them the card, then they'll keep the book and give you a donation. Does that sound like a good idea? This is Arabic because starting in September, for several months, there'll be a special bounty on Arabic books. The prices, not the prices, but the points for the Arabic books are going to go sky high. So that means when you distribute an Arabic book, you're going to get about 10 times more points than you would have for any other small book. Do you all want to run out the door and try to find some Arab speaking people? So, as many books in as many languages throughout the whole world, that'll keep you busy for a while, for a lifetime. Prabhupada compared it to other movements. I'm going to do a presentation tomorrow morning called The Pen is Mightier Than the Sword, in which I show world trends which were created by the distribution of various kinds of books. Because this is one of the ways that ideologies take hold all over the world in various places. So Prabhupada's proposition was not sentimental, it was wholly practical. There are other organizations, by the way, that do much better than we do. The 239 countries for Watchtower, 595 languages, 46 million copies per month. We can beat them. We really can. We can move ahead through using the four laws of book distribution, and we should. And if we do, and as we do, it will make a market influence on the world through mass distribution of books. We're doing a tiny little bit of book distribution right now, just a little smidge. But what we need to do is ramp it up to heights that nobody's ever seen before, that will inundate the world with transcendental literature. That'll do a little damage. We should do a little damage. Holy Bible's getting out there everywhere, all these different countries. Why not Bhagavad Gita? Why not Srimad Bhagavatam and Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita? So the direct order of the Lord is a manifestation of His internal energy. These are Prabhupada's words in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And this particular energy is the means of seeing the Lord face to face. So if you want to know how to come see the Lord face to face, just pick up His order. He said, spread this movement all over the world. If you just take that as your heart and soul, take it, put it in your heart, and keep it there. And just meditate on it and think, how can I do this? How can I do this? How can I do this? And if you keep doing that, that will bring you to practical samadhi. That will empower you to hear and chant. That will bring you to the spontaneous platform of devotional service, and will bring you back to Goloka Vrindavan. Krishna will take you by the hand back to Goloka Vrindavan. Prabhupada said, and if can't be clearer than this, so kindly help me, this is my request. You want to jump at something like this. He says, kindly help me. Say, how can I help? And he said, distribute my books. I want all of you, try very vigorously for this book distribution. So you have full permission to be vigorous in your endeavors to promote book distribution. And don't think about success as how many books you distribute or don't distribute. Just think about it, how much you're imbibing the order and trying for this. And everyone has a different capacity. And according to your capacity, if you just try for this sincerely, you'll be blessed. It's a high sadhana. There's no servant in this world more dear to the one than one who endeavors to give the message to other people. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave this order, become a spiritual master and try to liberate everybody. So you can do that. One can try for that, right? Yes or yes? Okay. This attempt gives you superior strength and knowledge in Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada said. So if you just try for this, just try to do it, then you'll find that you're getting the affinity to hear and chant. Shushru shro shradana sya vasudeva kacharuchi syan mahat sevaya vipra punya tirta nishevana. When you do great service for the great souls, like Narada Muni, Srila Vyasadeva, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, you'll get a natural taste for hearing and chanting, and you'll be able to advance to the topmost stage of Krishna consciousness. So we say book distribution is a rapid way to make spiritual advancement. Now I'm going to talk about the four laws of book distribution, but before I do, I'll take four reflections. Two from this side of the room and two from this side of the room. And a reflection is not a question. A reflection is giving back to me something you heard, anything that you heard from the presentation so far. Start on this side of the room. One, two, three, go. One thing.
Meditate and ask how you can do it.
Use the mic. We'd like to hear your voice.
Meditate and ask how you do it.
How can I do it? How can I do it? Thank you very much. One more.
In the back.
In the back.
If you want to see the Lord face to face, then execute His order.
Yes. Thank you very much. One more. We'll take three.
I like the bit where you're saying that Gaur Kishore Das Babaji was chanting, and he was able to. You were saying that by chanting, this vibration goes around seven times around the earth.
Yeah.
So I like that because if you carry that pure vibration forward, the whole world gets purified, and you feel empowered inside.
Thank you. It's the whole secret to the Krishna consciousness movement is purify the vibration. If you just concentrate on doing that, everything else will happen naturally. Now three from this side. Yes?
Chant Hare Krishna, teach others.
Thank you very much for remembering that one. Another one, right behind you.
Srila Prabhupada has a request to all of us to kindly help him to fulfill his spiritual
kindly help me. Yeah. If you step forward and take that request, just try to your best ability, then all spiritual good fortune and acumen will come into your life. One more. Yes. Okay, two more. One, two.
So everyone has a different capacity, and don't compare yourself to others.
Yeah, act, just do your level best. Don't compare yourself to others. I find this holds back some devotees in Sankirtan because they think, oh, I have to outperform everybody. But just go out because it's the right thing to do. And even if you walk outside the threshold of the building, of course, you don't even have to walk outside the threshold of the building to perform Sankirtan. You don't even have to leave your flat. You can perform Sankirtan with your family by being generous and having gratitude for what you have, and sharing Krishna consciousness through your example. And then you take that outside also, and you connect with people heart to heart. It's a holistic science, Sankirtan. Did you have a point?
Yeah, the whole witness has distributed 46,000 copies per month. So we have great literature, and they are also distributing to 39 countries and 5 languages. So we have so many literatures, and we have so many centers, and we have special teachings coming from you, like devotees like you,
Srila Prabhupada's
disciples, and we can do this.
I like this devotee. Here's a leader right here. Yeah. 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 Did you have a point? One more back there.
I really liked what you said about Srila Prabhupada's proposition was not at all sentimental, it was totally practical, whatever he said. And we've seen it in the past, seen it now, and I'm sure we'll see it in the future.
Yeah, it just flat out works. It's the way to inculcate the ideologies of Krishna consciousness throughout the world through literature distribution. This is the sure way to make sure that the philosophy... In fact, the great scholar, the preeminent scholar of Gaudiya Vaishnavism in the academic world, Joseph T. O'Connell, in a paper he wrote called Institutionalizing Prema, writes about how there's a soft institution and a hard institution in Gaudiya Vaishnavism. He says, institution means the means by which you spread culture across time and geography. He said culture means that which is real, right, and valuable in a community. And he said the heart institution means these particular centers that we have. But he said the soft institution is more effective. He said the soft institution are the Gaudiya literatures. He said by sharing Gaudiya literatures, we're able to spread the culture across time and geography. And this is consistent with the teachings of all our great acharyas as well. It's practical. Okay, here are the four laws of book distribution. Do not break the law, and you'll be very happy in your Sankirtan life. Are you ready? Say yes.
Yes.
I'm not convinced. Yes.
Yes.
Okay, please read aloud.
You must get books. The more you show, the more you sell.
Say this one twice.
The more you show, the more you sell. You must organize.
Correct. Okay, number one, your sadhana must be strong. Sadhana must be strict, serious, and sincere. And by having strict, serious, and sincere sadhana, you'll get a taste. It's your responsibility to get a taste. Don't blame it on anybody else. It's niyamagraha. If you perform sadhana without getting a taste, then you're not focusing, you're not trying hard enough. Every day you have to get some taste. And if you get a taste, then you'll get overflow. And what we're distributing here is the overflow. And if you can get one molecule of realization from chanting your japa or hearing, you have to finish your japa, and hearing from Srimad Bhagavatam Bhagavad Gita, one molecule, it's enough to flood all of, what area we're in? Soho, right? All of the Soho area with Krishna consciousness. Actually, it will go beyond that. One molecule will flood all of the London area. Actually, it will go all over the UK and beyond into the EU. And beyond the EU, it'll go across the banks, it'll go into the ocean, it'll go across the ocean down into Africa, India. It'll inundate all the continents of the world. One molecule of taste that you get from chanting. All the genesis of all the Sankirtan movement comes from some molecule of taste that one can get. So you have to get this in order to spread the Sankirtan movement. One way is to read one chapter of Bhagavad Gita every day. Don't forget the Bhagavad Gita. In the Laghu Bhagavatamrita, Rupa Goswami says, don't forget the Bhagavad Gita. It was spoken directly by the Supreme Personality of God, and therefore it has the greatest power to change our lives, to develop a personal relationship. So we have an organization called CHAD, and that is a group of devotees who voluntarily recite at least one chapter of Bhagavad Gita a day, come rain or shine. Even if you forget and you're sleeping and you wake up at 11:55 at night and all of a sudden you think, I forgot to chant my chapter. You jump up, you get your Bhagavad Gita and you read your chapter, one chapter. At least the Sanskrit verses or the English verses, one a day. Prabhupada mentions this in many different places. So you can join CHAD. It's an underground organization, which is all the better. Secret society of people who chant one chapter of Bhagavad Gita a day. Plus, you'll get if you join, you'll get a free CHAD credit card that you can use anywhere. Any of the finer institutions will honor this credit card. I have some with me. Another is to measure how much you're reading every day. This is called Be a Sage Page by Page. And you might say, well, where can I get this? You could go to the App Store, either for Apple, or iOS, or for, what's that other one called? Huh?
Android,
yeah. You go into Android or Apple, and you can download the application, and you'll see there a very simple method to measure how many pages that you read every day, and you should know when you're going to complete the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. Somebody can wake you up at 1 o'clock in the morning and say, when are you going to finish the Bhagavatam? And you'll be able to say, April 16th, 2019, I'll be done. Because you'll be on track by using this application called Be a Sage Page by Page. Okay? All right?
Okay.
So the second law of book distribution is you must get books. Now the reason is we've done scientific studies at major universities all over the world, including here in the UK, and they found that it's impossible to distribute books that you don't have. Therefore, we recommend that you get books. Yes, books are available, but do you have them? Do you keep them with you? This is a big question. If you walk out the door without books, how do you expect Lord Chaitanya to make a connection for you? What are you going to give him? Nothing? That's not our philosophy. So you have to get books. So this is number two philosophy. Please say, get books.
Get books!
You join the military, and they're training up when you first go in. They teach you how you have to respond. You say, sir, yes, sir! So sir, now you say, get books like this. One, two, three.
Get books!
That's correct. That's how you say that one. So you walk out of this seminar today, and someone grabs you by the arm and said, what was that guy talking about in there? You'll say,
get books!
That's right. So get books. And make them available. We have books in all the different languages. You should have all the different language books and have them cataloged so that you can take them out and make sure you don't miss anybody out there. We have Vietnamese, Japanese, Farsi, Arabic, Korean, etc., etc. We also have language cards. You can learn to say a word or two in every language. Here we are at a Vietnamese mall. These people were enjoying half-calf, decaf, espresso, and I sat down with them and introduced the books in Vietnamese, and they were very happy to have me as part of the family because I had a book in Vietnamese. And here's a Muslim mullah from Afghanistan, and he's holding a book in Farsi, and he asked, I said, Salaam alaikum, alaikum salaam, marhaba, kif halaka, alhamdulillah, allahu akbar. He said, you believe in Allah? I said, of course. And he said, you pray every day? I said, 16 times. And he came over and gave me a big hug. And he took this Farsi book, and he wanted to know, where are all the other Farsi books? And we also want to know, where are all the other Farsi books? These are gold. Now that book found its way back into Afghanistan somewhere. It's burning a hole somewhere in somebody's shelf. So the third law of book distribution is, the more you show, the more you sell. Please say it twice.
The more you show, the more you sell. More you show, more you sell.
Because little Jiva is wandering around the universe just wasting time, and whatever he looks at, like a little sign that says drink Coca-Cola, because Coca-Cola is happiness. Is that true?
No.
That's what it says. How come it's not true? He says pour out a bottle of happiness. So little Jiva sees it, and then, does anybody drink Coca-Cola in the world? Not here. In the world, do people drink Coke?
Yes.
Is it one of the largest companies in the world?
Yes.
It is one of the largest companies in the world. People drink Coca-Cola at every continent of the world. And that's sheer foolishness. But the reason they do it is because they saw a sign that says, drink Coke. So little Jiva is influenceable. He's subject to open to suggestion. That's what a Tattvastha Jiva is. He's just wandering around. And anybody can get to him and say, Jiva, look, take a look at this. And as soon as he sees it, he starts getting influenced because he's so tiny. So the trick is to show little Jiva Krishna before someone shows him Coca-Cola. So you can put up the book tables. You can come up with all kinds of ways to be out in public, to meet people, and just show them the book. Look at that. Just show it. And you can find events. We found this one because the books match the pumpkin. It's a pumpkin festival. We're a big hit there every year. And there are all kinds of Diwali festivals. And then there's ways to place books in institutions all over the world. Then there's this beautiful little smart box, which is its own little vending machine. Just an innovative way to show books. By the way, if you like to distribute books while you sleep, this is for you. Because you can put these out and then go take rest for as long as you like. And the book will go out anyway. And you'll feel a modicum of satisfaction in your life. Then there's smart tables. And so Prabhupada also said he wants every respectable person to take a full set of Bhagavatam's Chaitanya Charitamritas. The greatest salesman in the world, Tom Hopkins, said, always sell in bunches like bananas. And here you have it. We have full sets of Prabhupada's books. They're already bundled together. And you can make them available to people wherever you go. We're starting a project. We started a project. We're rolling it out in a major way in the next couple of weeks called Go Matsya. Because Matsya saved the Vedas. And we found by selling sets of books to people all over Silicon Valley that we were running out of people because we sold thousands of sets door to door. And then we thought, what do we do now? And then I remembered from my last life about selling, and that is, don't go just for your cold market all the time, but look for your warm market. So the people who are buying books can become the distributors themselves. So Go Matsya essentially is a way in which when we meet people, instead of selling a set of books, we're asking them to become the distributors of the books. And there are different levels that they can achieve by becoming distributor. And the impetus is within our motto of Gomatsu, which is preservation through mass distribution and education. And there'll be more about that coming up very soon. Devesh Prabhu is in the back of the room, will be vigorously rolling out this project all over the UK, sleeplessly introducing this. Here's a fun way to distribute books, to go door to door and introduce full sets of books. The biggest excuse people, the most frequent excuse people have is, I don't have any space. Well, we solved the problem in this one apartment where that arrow was pointing. They used to have hairbrushes and broken games and all kinds of stuff I didn't even recognize. And I asked them, what's all this junk? And they said, can we move this? And I moved the hairbrush. Can we move this? Yes. Move this, move this, move this, yes. Pretty soon we had a whole shelf available and we moved the Srimad Bhagavatam in. And this is how spiritual life works. You move the books in and everything else has to move out. But actually it's the number one reason people say they can't take a Bhagavatam and said, I don't have any space for it. And it's true, they don't. So we have to help them make space in their life for Krishna, put the Srimad Bhagavatam in. Here's a Muslim man from Morocco who just happily purchased a full set of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Okay, so there's lots of instruction how to sell full sets. You can also package together everything. This is called the Perfectly Complete Library. It's every book that's published, along with the Madanga, all the lectures, everything else you can think of, plus the bookshelf thrown in. And what do you think happens if you package it all together and then you show this to little Jiva and say, hey, little Jiva, come here for a sec. I think you should have this. What do you think happens? Okay. Jiva takes it. Because if he'll take Coca-Cola, he'll take anything. But this is good for Jiva. You move this into an office or a home, and the whole home, it's the nuclear option. So, Moto Gita is another successful program. There are many, many different programs, that, ways in which to show the books, to make them available, to put them out. We're now approaching the 500,000 mark in placing these Bhagavad Gitas in hotels and motels around the world. Number four is, you must organize. Everyone say.
You must organize.
Because you can do a little bit of book distribution here and there, individually or collectively, but if you organize, then incrementally you can build a book distribution empire. You could grow from a little, you can start your book distribution program out of a little closet somewhere, and then, but through the organizational principles, it can become a huge operation, much the way Apple started in Steve Jobs' father's house's garage. And now it's the biggest company in the world. Can that be done with book distribution? Absolutely. How? Through organization. And that's exactly what some people are doing all over the world. Through the organizational principles, you can use the ABS principle, which is always better service, and analyze after every event that you put on what went well and where was there room for improvement. You fix the room for improvement, and then next month you're better than you were before, and you continue to grow, and you can continue to make bigger goals, which was the way Prabhupada organized his program. Okay, everyone stand up. So please say, Nitai Gauranga.
Nitai Gauranga!
Try it one more time.
Nitai Gauranga!
One more time, a little louder.
Nitai Gauranga!
Okay, thank you. Now, I'll take a few more reflections. Since you're ahead on this side, we'll take some starting on this side. A reflection is anything that you heard that you can reflect back, any point.
The first law of attraction, that is, your sadhana should be strong. It should motivate you to do more distribution of books.
First law of book distribution is your sadhana must be strong. And the two things go together, the going out to distribute books and hearing and chanting. These two together, they're like epoxy glue. You get two tubes. You mix them together, and then the effect is that they become solidly connected. So if you have hearing and chanting and you have book distribution going out in your life, this is a perfectly balanced sadhana. And even if you can't go out every day, it's okay. Even if you can afford to even go out once a month, even if it's for just an hour, you'll find that adding this ingredient into your life will bind together and help you to assimilate all that you're reading and all you're hearing and chanting. A couple more.
Get books.
Get books!
That's right, because we've scientifically studied and major universities all over the world. There have been PhD studies in this, and they found conclusively that you can't distribute books you don't have. What else? Two more from the side. Yes.
Read chapter Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah, read chapter Bhagavad Gita every day. We've had really busy days. Yesterday we did 3 programs or something like that, and coming home in the car, and we were tired. It was 11 o'clock at night or something like that, and I remembered I hadn't done my chapter yet, so I just opened on my phone and I read the English to the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Such relief, not only because I remembered to chant my chapter, but also just by hearing that one chapter of Bhagavad Gita, wasn't it? Like a balm that soothes the soul. And if you get in these, special supplemental programs for your devotional service, you add a few little things in. They're very easy to do, 5-10 extra minutes a day. You'll find that it's like taking high-quality vitamins, you know, improving your spiritual diet. You become spiritually strong. And from that, you'll feel inspired and you'll have the wherewithal to present Krishna consciousness to others. Because actually, it's not a technique. It's a state of heart. If you feel happy and you feel blissful, then you'll feel like sharing with other people, and people will look at your face and they'll go, wow, what do you got? Because they'll see that you're happy. Because most people aren't happy, they're envious. And when you're happy, you're not envious. When you're not envious, you're happy. And so if you're feeling satisfied in yourself, you're not envious of other people. And living entities sense that when you're not envious. And they're attracted to it because they don't ever see it. It's a very rare thing to see Vaishnavas. What else? Yes?
Yeah, another time you were saying it's up to us to get the taste. Because by getting that taste, that molecule of taste, then we distribute the overflow.
Yes. Yeah, put it on yourself. Why blame other people? Why blame the GBC or the temple president or Donald Trump? Or, I mean, you could blame anybody. That, you know, so why I don't have a taste? Why not just look within yourself? Because all you have to do is be fully aware when you're chanting. And if you're fully aware when you're chanting, then Krishna's right there. Why wouldn't you get a taste if Krishna's right there? I'm just not there. That's the only reason I'm not getting a taste. Yes?
Organize yourself.
Let's hear this. You said it with such conviction. I want to hear it from his own voice. What is your name?
His name.
What?
Matush.
Bhakta?
Matush.
Bhaktush.
Matush.
Bhaktush.
Matush.
Matush. Matush. Matush. Let's hear this from Matush. Matush, give it to us.
Organize yourself.
Organize yourself. Organize yourself. Organize yourself. Organize yourself. Organize yourself.
We should get, like, on the side of buses, we could say, organize yourself. Bhakti Matush. Go Premanande and go. Jai Jai Jagannath Baladev Sri Bhajaji Ki Jai Jai Shri Shri Gornitai Ki Jai Shri Parampara Ki Jai Shri Panchatattva Ki Jai Shri Nishingadev Ki Jai Go Premanande. What else did you hear? Yes. There he got. He has it on his phone. Did you find it?
Yes.
That doesn't look like the right one though. Which one did you get? That it? There it is. The BSH Bay. There it is. Yeah, try it out, because there's a little wheel. You pick the book that you want to read and look at and say, okay, fair enough, I'm going to be 5 years older in 5 years anyway. Let me finish the Bhagavatam in 5 years. Let me see how many pages I have to read every day in order to do that. And lo and behold, it's only 9 pages? 9 pages a day. Is that doable?
Yes.
Absolutely, you can do that. Add it to your diet. That's the secret to life, reading Bhagavatam every day, without fail. No matter what else happens. Yes, what else? 1, 2, 3.
The more you show, the more you sell.
That's the one we always say twice. Everyone.
The more you show, the more you sell. The more you show, the more you sell.
Thank you.
But that was the same.
Okay, twice.
The more you show, the more you sell. The more you show, the more you sell.
Yeah, if you leave the books in the boxes in the basement, what do you expect? What do you expect? But if you just open them up, even if you don't know anything, even if you don't know what to do, if you just open them up and let them expose them to the light of day, some living entity will come floating by and go, hey, by the way, what are you doing there? How much is that? Let me see. Show me the book. Living entities are curious. Who is next? Yes.
Sell in bunches.
Sell in bunches like bananas. Whatever you can sell one of, you can sell bunches of. So you can bunch them together. Yes.
Always better service.
Find out. This is actually the standard principle of management. This is the basis of it all, of organizational management. That is, make a record of what went well and where there's room for improvement. You have to be meticulous in recording this. And if you have a list of where there's room for improvement, then you have gold. Because then you can just go about improving those things and you'll build yourself a better mousetrap. Okay, so now I'm going to move on to the next part. Is everybody ready?
Yes.
Okay. And that is,
I move forward just a little bit,
please. Please move forward by 7.2 centimeters. You can move that camera. Do you have some Bhagavad Gitas? The kind that you're distributing? Because if so, I always like to have a copy. Here's the monthly Sankirtan festival. This is an idea. Whose implementation has been making a profound difference all over the world. For instance, in North America, where I live part of the year, I can say that nowadays, we've enjoyed about 150% increase in book distribution over the last 6 years. We went from about $800,000 to the BBT to $2.2 million. And much of it is from following these principles, and much of it is from the monthly Sankirtan Festival. So in communities all over the world, there are hundreds or dozens, then hundreds and thousands of devotees who are interested in having some service. So if you organize your community for at least once a month and invite everybody in the community to go out to reach people that they don't know in the outlying villages and towns, and you can do Harinam Sankirtan, you can do a transcendental book distribution and prasadam distribution all together. And this is a great experience for everybody in the congregation. They don't have to produce anything. They don't have to show any special skill. They just have to go out and have fun and see the magic of being out there together. It happens naturally when you're out there together. And I've seen communities all over the world now who employ the system of the monthly Sankirtan Festival, where you have one major event a month, at least for 2-3 hours, where everybody goes out together, men, women, children, and just to have fun and try to distribute Krishna consciousness. That takes some organization, takes a lot of organization. In fact, the only hard part of this is moving the troops, because the easy part is actually being out there. It's a lot of fun. Then somebody has to organize it so everyone has the opportunity to come out and be part of it. So there's a little bit of logistics involved. But once you do that, you'll find that everybody working together develops a momentum. And also you'll find that those who are new devotees or have the mentality of new devotees then become elevated to the position of Madhyama Adhikaris just by dint of being out and trying to do the right thing by giving Krishna consciousness. So it's a fun, organized outing. People go out together. We have a morning program, breakfast, a little bit of training, some sankirtan outside, whether it's door-to-door or shop-to-shop or in the street or any other place. And then we have lunch together and share stories about what happened. There's a very potent formula, and I've seen it work all over the world. For instance, in Juhu, Mumbai, there's one devotee named Narottam Priya Prabhu, and he was feeling a little lackluster in his spiritual life. He was feeling, I wanted to join a revolutionary movement that was actually changing the world, and he felt like he wasn't getting that. And then he heard some of these principles, and he heard about the monthly Sankirtan festival. And then he started his own party right there in Juhu, because there's thousands of congregational members. And now every month he has a group of 50 devotees that go out. They have their own little party with the blessings of the authorities there. They go out and shoot books together. And they looked so enlivened. And we were there with them going out. Oftentimes the women in India don't get a lot of extra service at the temple, but now they're going out in this party, they're on the front lines, and they're feeling enlivened. And I was telling them how in Prabhupada's day everybody went out, and he encouraged all the women to go out and be part of the Sankirtan party. And so this is a natural way in order to enthuse everybody in the congregation. A few principles are to make it fun, encourage teamwork. In fact, we don't report individual scores. We just do a team score. We compete against ourselves. And we create fresh challenges every monthly Sankirtan festival. We encourage the heck out of everybody, and we empower people. When you see somebody that has an impetus and comes forward and says, you know, we should be keeping books and recording all this, and say, do you know how to do that? Yes. Okay, you're in charge. You're in charge of the bookkeeping department. We'll sign them up. Empower people. You should have a mission vision. Write down why you're doing this. Find your personnel. Find some Sankirtan spots. Get the infrastructure you need. Develop systems. Get paraphernalia. There's a lot. These are just headings, but I elaborate on this in the book that I wrote called Our Family Business. There's a whole chapter on the monthly Sankirtan Festival and how it's worked around the world, how it's made a difference, and you can read that for the details. Here's a list of different kinds of personnel where you can empower people to take over different posts in your monthly Sankirtan Festival. Paraphernalia that you need. Just give me a second to take it all in. And how to do it? Decide, set goals, and start. Now here's something we'll do today. We're just going out to touch the pavement. And once we do, we've achieved our goal for the day. Anything we do after that is extra. How's that sound? Yeah, we're not going out distributing books today. We're just going out to touch the pavement. And if we can successfully get out the door today to the spot that we're supposed to go to, and then we all touch the pavement, then we're done. Does that sound good? And then everyone can have a sarsaparilla. We'll give you a sarsaparilla. Touch the pavement. Mantras. Book distribution is high sadhana. Everyone say.
Book distribution is high sadhana.
Always better service.
Always better service.
A lot doing a little.
A lot doing a little.
Fun and easy.
Fun and easy.
Book distribution is fun and easy.
Book distribution is fun and easy.
Someone stops you outside, grabs you by the arm and says, what was that guy talking about? You'll say.
Book distribution is fun and easy.
Correct. Very good. See? It's easy. It's fun, and we emphasize teamwork. Working together. And this is in Toronto, Canada. They've built an empire of book distribution just from tiny little beginnings, and working together with these principles to become a major force. So start small and then grow. Here's a few tips and ideas to ponder. Pick the right fruits. When you go out to pick fruits from the tree, which ones do you look for?
The ripe ones.
Correct. Don't grab onto the unripe ones and try to break the branch and drag it down the street. That's not the art of picking fruit. So similarly, we're not going out to convince people, we're going out to select people who are already open to this. This is the injunction of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Look for people who are innocent, they're already open. And then you can give them Krishna consciousness. Here's an example. Here's a Ratha Yatra I attended in New York about 10 years ago. And this fellow in the maroon shirt just happened to walk into the Ratha Yatra. He was very interested in Krishna consciousness, never heard about it before. Can you see his demeanor and his countenance? Does he look like a ripe fruit or unripe?
Right.
Okay, how about the guy on the right-hand side talking to Kinshana Krishna Prabhu? Ripe or unripe?
Unripe.
What about that?
Ripe.
What about this?
Unripe.
What about that?
Ripe. Unripe. Ripe. Unripe.
So you get used to seeing that quickly. And with the unripe fruits, what do? Leave them on the tree. Just walk away. Let the sun ripen. That's why we sing. Samsara dhavana dhavida loka. Everyone's being cooked, but in the material world, by the forest fire. They can stay a little longer on the vine. So core and explore means that 80% we already are used to. We know what gets the results. So do that, 80%. 20% you have to experiment a little bit. Otherwise you're going to get caught flat-footed at some point when the world changes and you're not able to do your 80%. So experiment in that 20% and find out new methods of book distribution. Take some time to try new approaches and new ways of distributing books. Our prime directive for book distribution is? I need this one like really from the heart.
Leave everyone with a good impression.
What is our prime directive?
Leave everyone with a good impression.
Our prime directive is that everyone has to take a book, correct?
No.
I'm not convinced. Correct?
No.
What's our prime directive?
Leave everyone with a good impression.
That's right. And if you go out with this mood and leave everyone with a good impression, you'll be in the right zone, and books will go out, you'll make friends, people will come back to the temple, and everything will happen automatically if you stay in this zone. Krishna says in the 12th chapter of the Gita, be a kind friend to all living entities. That's all you have to do. Just be a kind friend. That's a good job, right? Can you do that?
Yes.
Just try to go out and be a kind friend to all living entities. And take a few gifts with you in the form of books and prasadam, and everything else will happen. Prabhupada was the greatest of ambassadors of goodwill. And we are in the
service business.
Our motto is?
Holy service.
Our mood?
We are Krishna's teachers.
We remain
humble and hungry.
We go out for
self-purification.
We do service for
service sake.
I save one soul at a time, beginning with
myself.
Treat people with
respect.
Offer
kind words.
Focus on
deeper.
Preaching means
giving.
Don't be
condescending.
Express
empathy.
Practice
perfective listening.
Make people feel
special. They are.
Yeah, it's a trick that I learned. Imagine that everyone has a sign around their neck that says, make me feel special. Can you do that for a second? Do you have it in your mind? Everyone in this room has a sign around their neck that says, make me feel special. Is it in mind? Okay, turn to somebody next to you and make them feel special. One, two, three, go. Come on now. All right, stop. No more. Cut it out. Don't you hate that? Don't you hate it when people do that to you? They come up and try and make you feel special. It's a horrible feeling, isn't it? No, it feels great. And that's what everyone's looking for. If you remember that sign around people's neck, that's how you approach people when you go out for Sankirtan. Just make them feel special. And then their hearts will open, and you can offer them gifts, the Sampradaya gifts. So develop the habit of expressing sincere gratitude and thanks to people you meet, live with, and associate with. And now I'm going to show you how to sell a Bhagavad Gita on its own merit. Because Prabhupada said there's sufficient merit in our books that if you simply describe them... Do you mind opening this? If you describe them sincerely, they will buy. So here are the steps. And now there are many different ways to distribute books, but I'm just giving this simple template that I use very frequently. At least I use for training all the time, and I follow it. And by using this template, you'll be successful in selling Bhagavad Gita's. Are you ready? So first step is radar, and qualify, trust the hand, give a nutshell presentation, show and tell, compliment, use some humor, and then engage. Ready? One person? Okay. Who said yes? One person here said yes? Okay, pay attention to everyone else, close your eyes. Okay, so radar. We have in America the system where the police, what do you call them here? Bobbies? They're called police? Okay. Bobbies? Huh? Cops. Or cops. So the cops over here, they shoot your car with a radar gun, and the ray hits your car, it bounces back to the machine, and it tells them how fast you're going. So in the same way, when we're distributing books, the first stage is to make a conscious contact with people so you can get some information about them, whether they're a ripe or unripe fruit. And how do you do that? It's by using your radar. So everyone has a built-in radar. It's in your hand. Hold up your hand. That's your radar gun. Shoot, point it at somebody right now. Not at me. I can't even know that. And I'll give you the mantra to activate the radar. Hi.
Hi.
Now look at the person you hit and see how they look right now.
Hi.
Now the problem with this experiment is everyone's a ripe fruit in this room. But if you go out and just try this, don't distribute any books, just go up to people and say hi. 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 Like this. Hey, you'll get a variety of responses from people walking down the street. What kind of responses might you get?
Ignored.
Somebody might ignore you. Is that a ripe or unripe fruit?
Right.
Any reason to lament?
No.
No, because we're not trying to grab the unripe fruits. We're fine if somebody ignores us. That gives us one less person that we're getting to the people who are ripe. We're just sifting through. So what other response might somebody give? They might say, Haribol, and then you'll know they're a devotee. And then what else? What else might somebody say? You say hi, and they say
hi.
And then there's a lot in between. So here's another thing. This is a non-committal way of shaking hands that makes a visceral connection with people. It felt so good I had to do it again. The living entities, they're starving for a little bit of attention and a little bit of human contact. And this is a bona fide way to make contact with people without much commitment, without putting out a big poem or anything like that. And you can just bump hands. So oftentimes when I say hi to people, now there's a radar, I'll get a reading back. They'll either ignore me or they'll give someone in between like, or they'll say hi. And then I use qualify. So qualify is to ask a question. And so I'll say, I'm from California, where are you from? I'm from California, where are you from?
Wales.
Wales? I love Wales, fantastic. I'm going to Wales next year. And as soon as they tell me where they're from, then I appreciate the place that they're from. And my body language is saying, oh, that just qualified you. For us to talk and for me to hand over when I'm about to hand over. If I just walk up to people and I say, here, they don't know why they're getting it. And the confused mind always says no. But if I say hi, and then I see there's an opening because I make a conscious contact, and they say,
hi.
I say, California, where are you from?
Wales.
Wales, fantastic. I love Wales. Great. I'll show you one too. Now I'm going to show it. Everyone say show.
Show.
Not sell. Not give, but show. Show. Show is an innocuous word. I'm just showing. Everyone can show and tell. So now you trust the hand, and you'll see this diagram of a hand. Do you see the lady's hand?
Yeah.
The hand opens. So sometimes the mind of the person is saying, don't do it, Larry, don't do it. And the hands go, no, I'll do it. Because that's what hands do. Hands just grab stuff. That's their job. So that lady, you can see her face. She's going, I don't know about that. And Hans going, no, it's fine. So be a little bold. Take a risk to put the book in their hand. So when you qualify them, you say, look. So now, as you're putting the book in the hand, there's a mantra. Here's a mantra. Books on yoga and meditation that show you how to get free from stress. And you'll notice that as I'm handing the book over, I'm using the mantra. Books on yoga and meditation shows you how to get free from stress. And just as it's hitting in hand, I say stress. And now comes an important part of any presentation, and that is that the question, and the question mark, I'll say, is the most important punctuation mark in any language. Because a question mark is a hook. It directs the conversation the way you want it to go. If you're telling, you're not directing. If you're asking, you're directing. So you have to become a master asker. What do you have to become?
A master asker.
Become a master asker. And a question mark is also a tennis racket. You can hit back questions that they send to you by answering a question with a question. Says Hindu? I don't know, what do you mean by Hindu? You just put it right back. So here's a question I ask people. As soon as I hand them the book, tell them it shows how to get free from stress. You heard of stress before, right? And what do they say?
Yes.
What if they say no? It's okay. Doesn't matter either way. They say yes. Then I say, really, you don't look stressed. You look spiritual. So if they say, no, I'm not stressed, then they say, I know, I can tell by looking at you. You don't look stressed. You look spiritual. Either way, whether they say yes or no. So now, how does this ever happen? You walk out of your flat, your ashram, get out of Mangal Artik, and someone comes up to you and goes, man, you look terrible. How do you feel? How do you feel?
Terrible.
Terrible. Someone walks up to you and say, hey, you look really tired. How do you feel? Tired. You look sick. How do you feel? You go in the mirror and go, God, I do look a little sick. And but if you say to somebody, you look spiritual, they suddenly, it's an amazing experience because they are spiritual. And you say to somebody, you look spiritual, they suddenly think, yeah, I know, I am spiritual. They start to identify with their Atma instead of their external body. So you look, really, you don't look stressed, you look spiritual. Now, here's the big question that's in red right here. This, if you don't remember anything else from this seminar today, remember this question. What's your secret?
What's your secret?
This is a powerful question, because when you ask this question to people, you're changing your relationship with them. You're changing it from, I'm condescending, I'm trying to teach you something you don't know yet, I'm your savior. All these kinds of ideas people have in their mind, and that's why they have a tendency to reject you. But you say, what's your secret? Please teach me. Now you're becoming their disciple. They're going to become your mentor and tell what's their secret. And so what do they say?
Smoke weed.
Smoke weed. That's a mode of ignorance? Mode of passion?
I work hard.
Mode of goodness? I do yoga. So there's all these, according to the mode they're in, they'll say, I smoke pot, I drink alcohol, I have a good girlfriend, whatever it is. They'll give some secret according to the mode they're in. Or some people reveal the mode of goodness. They'll say, oh, I practice meditation, or I believe in God, something like that. And then you appreciate it very deeply when they give you their secret. And if they don't have a secret, then you can suggest one to them. Just say, you must just come from a good family. If they say, no, I come from a terrible family, you can say, you must just be a natural. And whatever it is, you decide on the fact that they have some standing in spiritual life already. And that's when you hand the book back. So, hi.
Hi.
California, where are you from? Wales. I love Wales. I'm going there next year. I'll show you one too. Books on yoga meditation that show you how to get free from stress. You've heard of stress before, right?
Yes.
Really, because you don't look stressed. You look very peaceful. Actually, you look spiritual. What's your secret?
I spent time with this gentleman here.
I can tell. This looks like spiritual association. I knew it. And this is the move. This is my body language. Look, I knew you were into this. Fantastic. And now I'm taking the book back. So after I take the book back, and I say, here, I'll show you really quick. How fast am I showing?
Really
quick, because their mind's still going, how long is this going to take? Is this going to be a Bhagavatam class I'm getting here? See, show really quick. And so now show and tell. Thoreau, Emerson, Gandhi, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Albert Einstein, the Beatles, and Tupac Shakur. All these people read this book. You just drop names. Are the universities in the front here?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, turn to the front cover, and actually, halfway through, I open up and I say, this is Thoreau, Emerson, Gandhi, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Albert Einstein, the Beatles, Tupac Shakur, they all read this book. And then I open to the Sanskrit and say, here, can you read this? Can you read that?
No.
I was just testing it. It's written in Sanskrit, and it's been translated many times from Sanskrit, and out of all the translations, this has become very popular academically. You've heard of University of Southern California? Georgetown University? Yes. Oxford? And here it is in a nutshell. And I turn to Changing Bodies. Is that in here? Slightly different configuration. There it is. We start here, and we end up here. We're just passing through. I show them this, and I say, where are you in all this? And I ask them to identify where they are on the line. And then I ask them if they've heard of karma. Have you all heard of karma?
Yes.
What does it mean to you?
Whoa.
I really like the way you put things. If more people in the world thought like you, it would be a better world to live in. You've heard of karma, right? Have you heard of karma?
Yeah.
What does it mean to you?
Good and bad.
Whoa. I really like the way you put things. If more people in the world thought like you, it would be a better world to live in. Now you ask me.
What does karma mean to you?
You know, like there's rabbits and rainbows and stuff. And all kinds of stuff happens in the world.
Wow, I really like the way
you heard of karma. Watch me. You've heard of karma before, right?
Yeah.
What does it mean to you?
It goes around.
Whoa. I really like the way you put things. If more people in the world thought like you, it'd be a better world to live in. Are you ready? Ask me again.
You've heard of karma, right?
Yeah.
What's it mean to you?
You know, it's just like good and bad and stuff goes up and down.
Wow.
Whoa!
No, you got it. Okay. One more time, but you got to lean into it. Whoa.
Whoa!
Come on, everyone.
Whoa!
Get your hands up.
Whoa!
I really like the way you put this. If more people in the world thought like you, it would be a better world to live in. Okay, try it again. Ask me.
What does karma mean to you?
You know, what goes around comes around.
Whoa!
I really like the way you put things. If more people in the world thought like you, it'd be a better world to live in. That's correct. So then I ask them what they do professionally. You have that picture?
Yep.
Yes, you do. What do you do professionally?
I'm a
brahmachari. What do you do professionally?
I'm engineer.
What do you do?
Engineer.
This guy used to be a brahmachari. This guy used to be an engineer. So I asked him, so what do you do professionally? And they'll say, you know, I'm a school teacher. And really? What grade? Like fifth grade. This guy used to teach fifth grade. He's shown this picture. So 50% of the people laugh, and the other 50% say, really? And then I say, no, not really. And then they laugh. And then right when they're laughing is when I hand the book back. So they're going, ha, ha, ha. And then, ha, ha, ha. What do you do professionally? Civil engineer, Sunday school teacher, I'm a dancer. Really? This guy used to be a civil engineer. This guy used to be a Sunday school teacher. This guy used to be a dancer. Hand the book back, and I say, we don't sell these like in a bookstore. We just ask for donation. We don't need the money. The only reason we ask is, when you give something in return for spiritual knowledge, it's an ancient tradition. It connects you to the previous teachers who have passed it down over many generations and allows you to enter deeply within the knowledge. We don't sell it like in a bookstore. We just take a donation. We don't need the money. It's an ancient tradition. When you give something in return for spiritual knowledge, it connects you to the previous teachers who have passed it down over many generations and allows you to enter deeply within the knowledge. 99.9% of the people give when you explain this to them. Because the reason we're asking for donation is for them. It's not for us. We don't need the money. It's just an engagement so that they can connect to the book, so that they can bond with the book. And then finally, we teach them the Maha Mantra. So we say, do you believe in the power of prayer? This is after they buy the book. Do you believe in the power of prayer?
No.
No? Perfect. We'll give you a mantra. So if they say no, we say, oh good, I'm so happy. I'll give you a mantra. And if they say yes, they say, fantastic. I'll teach you this prayer from Sanskrit. It's meant to wake up love for God within your heart. And you give them a mantra card. And they say, please repeat after me. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama Rama.
Rama Rama.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Then we give prasadam. Because there's no earthly reason to not carry and give prasadam wherever you go. So when the person takes the book, chants the Maha Mantra, and then you give them some prasadam, then you can take their contact information. And then thank them for taking their valuable time. Tell them it's been an honor to meet them. It's a pleasure to meet them. Either they take the book, they don't take the book, whatever happens, leave them with a good impression. Leave them feeling like you greatly honored them in one way or another. Because our prime directive is?
Leave everyone with a good impression.
Correct. Now, I have for you some cards. And on the cards, it has all these mantras. How to sell a Bhagavad Gita. And on the back, it has all the steps, and it has the mantra that I guarantee for donations. If you learn this mantra and you present this, everyone you meet will give you a donation. 99.9% of the time, they'll give you a donation for the book. And your life will be happy forevermore. Is that right? Okay, here you go. Now, if there are any questions? Yes? It's on this card. Yeah, it's the last thing on the card. Nirkula? Yes. So when we distribute books to Indians, it's a different thing. Do you ever meet Indians?
Yes.
Okay. Don't try to give them a Bhagavad Gita, because that's not what they want. I mean, they do want it. They want it more than anybody, but that's not how to present to them. So when I meet somebody from India, I don't hand them anything. I just make friends with them and tell them what we're doing. So I'll ask them where they're from. I'll meet their family respectfully. And then I'll explain how we are doing work to spread the Bhagavad Gita. And I'll point out to them, you already know Bhagavad Gita. I don't put the book in their hand. I say, you already know Bhagavad Gita. Your mother read Bhagavad Gita every day. And your grandmother memorized Bhagavad Gita. And they'll go, yeah, that's true. That's what I was about to tell you. And then I say, what we're doing, and I say, you know more about this than I do. But what we're doing is we're spreading Bhagavad Gita all over the world. We're printing them in Chinese, Russian, Japanese, to spread peace all over the world, because it's the message of Lord Krishna. And so we're starting schools, we're placing these Bhagavad Gitas all over the world, and what we're doing here is a fundraiser, and we just ask for money. And then they're happy to give. And as soon as they give money, then I start giving them lots of books, and they become extremely happy. So it's in reverse order when I meet people from India, because if I try to hand them books, then they feel a little bit insulted. There's a little difference in selling sets of Bhagavatams when we go door to door, because they're ready for the sets of Bhagavatams. If they'll invite you in, you can take the full set in and show them and explain the whole thing to them. And we have a whole chapter on that in our book about how to sell sets of Bhagavatams. Any other questions? Yes? Oh, we need the mic. Can we pass it back? What is your name?
My name is Valery.
Valery. Valery, go ahead.
Yeah, so the person has a whole presentation, all the books, and he wants the book, but he don't have any cash with him. So how to...
We don't take cash.
You
take MasterCard, Visa, American Express, Carte Blanche, or Magna Carta. Do you have the...
No.
You don't take that over here? You don't take credit cards?
No, we have... I have some.
Here, he has one.
Yeah, that's a different.
Let's see it. You got to get one of these. What do you take with this? Credit card?
Contactless Apple Pay.
So these are important because if someone says, I don't have any cash, then you say, yeah, we don't take cash. We take MasterCard, Visa, American Express, Carte Blanche, or Diners Club. And then you just pull out your machine. Or you can just write down their credit card number and you bring it back and you can process it. And if you assume, you know, if you're very confident, then they'll give you that. Now, if they don't have that either, if people, of course, every yashar may have its own arrangement, the way they organize the books, but at ISV and at the other temples that I have intimate contact with on a regular basis, our emphasis is on getting the literatures out to people as much as possible. So we've found that when we're liberal with the books, for people, for instance, who can't give the full price for a book, or maybe they don't have money but they're very interested in the book, if we let them have it anyway, then we more than make up for it because of the mood that we're in. Krishna sends more Lakshmi. Like the other day, we were in Raleigh, North Carolina, or something like that, or some place, and I told the devotees that, and we were going shop to shop, and the devotees watched me. I had a slow start. Three or four people, first lady said no, and then three people, they said, okay, here, and here's a tiny little donation, and I was starting to sweat and thinking, Krishna, where are you? And then the next guy we ran into gave $50, and then I felt vindicated, and I got all puffed up. And But it all comes out. So what I look for is if people paid attention and they actually appreciated what we were presenting. So sometimes they say, I don't need any money, but if they paid attention and they're really interested in the book, I don't like wrenching it back from them. I let them have it. Yes?
Some people are half-right.
That's where, when you start to learn how to interact with people with more finesse, then you can learn for the half-right people. In the beginning, just look for the right fruits and don't worry about it if they're not right. But as you get more expert, you'll learn more ways in which to coax people along, and you can help ripen them up a little faster if they're half-right.
People, we spend 5 to 10 minutes, okay, they listen everything, and the moment then we talk about donation or like asking for money, okay, they'll say, okay, probably can keep it back. So at that point, what should we do? Like,
you have to watch and learn from somebody who knows how to do it. Because I see 9 times out of 10 with newer distributors, what would have gone through with a more experienced distributor, somewhere there's a break in the presentation of the newer person. They miss some opportunity. Like sometimes people say, why don't you give it to somebody else? And so you should answer them. Say, the reason we don't give it to somebody else is because we were asked to give them to the most intelligent people. And I mean, there's an answer for everything, and you have to have it in your repertoire. You get it in your repertoire, and then you're ready for all these things. Sometimes, and actually, you really have to go with the flow. If somebody hands a book back to me, I just take it back. And then I give them another one. Not the same one, but a different one. And oftentimes they'll take that. So there's a lot of different things, and you kind of have to see it and assimilate it. So you have to watch people who are experienced. And everybody you can pick up something from. Even new devotees who are enthusiastic, they may very quickly pick up a rhythm, and you have to watch that and see how they're doing it. And you get these weapons, like Arjuna got weapons. He traveled all over, and he picked up different weapons. By the time he got to Kurukshetra, he was ready for everything. Right? A couple more? Yes.
Yes. When doing door-to-door book distribution, is it you cannot say, hi, I'm from... Right?
Why not?
Is it same presentation?
I'm very affable with people. Here's my mood when I go door to door. When I go door to door, I remember that when people go home, say you're going to visit your best friends to have prasadam. What's your favorite kind of prasadam?
Any prasadam.
Khichdi. Say khichdi. So khichdi. So you're going over to their house to have khichdi, and your best friends are there, and you can't wait to see them. And you knock on the door, and they open the door, and like, Hari Mal, you're so happy to walk in. So when I knock on someone's door, I'm thinking my best friends are inside, and they got khichdi in there. And I knock, and they open the door, and it's like, hi, how are you? I'm from California. And then immediately, it's like, it's the mood, it's the energy that you present. It's not some official thing. But if you're friendly and they open the door and you introduce yourself, and I always introduce the people who are with me. Sometimes there's 17 devotees standing out there. And I have everyone say their name, because it's a very personal thing. We go around, I'm Krishna Nandini, they go around the whole thing, and the guy hears the Vishnu Sahasranam. It's more the mood, what I'm going to do. Anything from this side? Yes. Here comes the mic.
Sometimes when you ask that question, what's your secret, they start to tell the whole life story of them. How do you like unwrap it up? So it doesn't get digressed.
Well, sometimes, you know, it's just like you have to have a device to move on. Like, you know, they say the part of it that you know, that is good enough to appreciate, and you go, fantastic, great, here. And then you should hand the book back to them and start explaining it to them. It's just a timing thing. Yes?
You know, you said you picked...
Here comes the mic.
We should get ready to go, right? 11 o'clock.
You pick the right fruit.
Yeah?
When I was younger,
I used to
pick people because you could, when you've been doing it enough, you can tell who's going to give you a donation. But now I'm older, I don't feel that I should pick, you know, an old person. Whoever comes along, I stopped everyone. Is that, which way's better?
Well, I mean, one thing is if you go out as a sadhana practice, and you just overcome the mind's way of discriminating between one person and another, and you extend yourself to everyone, with some exceptions. Sometimes you see people are already engaged, they're talking on the phone, something like that, no reason to interrupt them. But instead of discriminating, think this one's good, this one's not good, just try to, this is a practice you can try for part of the time, is just try approaching everybody and see what happens. Because oftentimes your mind is wrong. It'll say, this person is really favorable, and they'll go, no, I'm not interested. And somebody else will say, they'll never take. And then they end up being the nicest person, very interested. So you can try that. So go out in an experimenting mode, not trying to get a result, but just try to do it as yoga. And one other trick, if you're nervous about going out, and I always am, because, you know, leaving your comfort zone is always a trying experience. It's easier to stay in, and apparently, and just cruise. But if you go out, then you expose yourself to, like, anything can happen. So here's a little trick to how to overcome any of the fear or anxiety. Anybody ever have that besides me?
Yes.
Three or four people? 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10? Okay. I'll teach you a trick that I learned many years ago, how to overcome that. If you'll take your right hand and you reach to the back of your head, there's a switch back there that you didn't know was there before. And you can flip that switch, and you can turn from human mode into robot mode. And once you flip it into robot mode, then you have no more feelings. You're only an automaton. And automatons don't feel. They just go out and do their mission. And if you flip the switch and say, okay, I'm a robot now. I'm going to go out and I'm going to do this. And you say, hi, hi, hi. People say, get out of here, son. And you're like, thank you. And this is, Krishna advises this in the Gita, don't be disturbed by fame or infamy, happiness and distress. Learn to do that. This is the perfect opportunity to go outside your comfort zone. That's why we're doing it for the sadhana. We're not doing it for some result, because the result can always be bigger, can always be smaller, it's a matter of practice that you're going to get some good sadhana out. So I'm just going to do one last repetition. Normally what we do is we'd all stand up and go through some reps of how to exchange the book, but the time and the space was not available here today. But I did give you the cards. Does everyone get a card?
Yes.
No, we have more cards. How many didn't get a card? Just bring me the extras. And also, for those of you who want to be a sage page-by-page card, we have some of these also. One last question, yes. When qualified people, I ask them, I say I'm from California, where they're from, then?
Yeah, but when you say as an Indian background from India,
they say I'm from India.
It
what?
It naturally changes the person's opinion, saying, oh, he's trying to sell something Indian to me, or Indian spirituality or something.
Where else have you lived in your life?
UK.
Where?
UK, here.
Yeah. What part of the UK?
Croydon.
Croydon? I'm from Croydon. Where are you from? You know, change it. Have you ever visited any place?
Yeah.
Where? Around the world?
Yeah, France.
From France. Where are you from? I'm from Goloka. Where are you from? It just doesn't need it. This is poetic license. You know, it doesn't have to be historically perfectly accurate. You know, we're just trying to make friends with people and appreciate, you know, a certain thing about them. I mean, you don't need to manufacture too much, but the fact is that it can be adjusted slightly if you feel more comfortable with something else. Okay, we really do have to end, so...
You have more cards.
Yes, more cards are coming. Do you have more cards? How many didn't get cards now? Okay.
How do you approach people who practice a lot of practice?
Okay, just as a general principle, honor objections and honor differences. So if somebody has an objection, you honor it. Some to the back, this way. Montezuma's back here. If I hand somebody a book and they say, oh, I'm a Buddhist, and they start handing it back, oh, I'm sorry. And I take the book back, and then I give them another book. And I say, here, this is the Buddha book. I give them another book. And then I explain it in terms of Buddha taught that the body is like a house, and we're only occupying that house temporarily. And another thing I say very frequently to honor people, you know, they say, I'm a this, I'm a that. And they'll say, oh, fantastic, perfect. And then I say, if there were more people like you in the world, it would be a better place to live. And if I hand the book, people say, I'm a Christian. I say, oh, fantastic. It's people like you, people of faith, who are keeping this world afloat. Thank you very much for what you're doing. You honor their apparent objection right away instead of resisting it, because whatever you resist will persist. So I'm going to do one last repetition of showing a Bhagavad Gita as it is. Would you mind coming up here? You could just... maybe sit right here. Hi.
Hi.
California, where are you from?
Wales.
Wales, fantastic. I love Wales. I'm planning on going there next year. This is from California to Wales. Books on yoga and meditation that show you how to get free from stress. You've heard of stress before, right?
Yes.
Really, because you don't look stressed at all. You look very peaceful. You look spiritual. What's your secret?
Do exercise at the gym.
I knew it, I could tell. Here, I'll show you really quick. Thoreau, Emerson, Gandhi, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Albert Einstein, the Beatles, Tupac Shakur, they all read this book. Can you read that?
No.
I just tested it. It's all translated into English. In fact, this has been translated many, many times, hundreds of times into English, but out of all of them, this version has become the most popular academically. You know USC? Georgetown University, Oxford, and here, look. Here it is in a nutshell. We all start here. We end up here. We're just passing through. Notice that I'm showing the changing bodies. Where are you in all this?
This one here.
What is your name?
Dayali.
Let the record show that Dayalu said he's right here. Krishna. And also you notice the next page is the Vidya Vinaya Sampane, which says a self-realized soul treats everyone, sees everyone equally. So often I turn to this next page and say, look at this shows a self-realized person. A self-realized person treats everyone with respect because he or she sees the spirit in everyone's heart. You've heard of karma, right?
Yes.
What does it mean to you?
What goes around comes
around. Whoa! I love the way you put things. If more people in the world thought like you, it would be a better world to live in. What do you do professionally?
I teach yoga.
Yoga? What kind of yoga?
Karma yoga.
Karma yoga? Look at this guy used to teach karma yoga. We don't sell it like in a bookstore. We only ask for a donation. We don't need the money. The only reason we ask is when you give something in return for spiritual knowledge, it's an ancient tradition. It connects you to the previous teachers who have passed it down over many generations and allows you to enter deeply within the knowledge.
Is that £40, 50?
Yes. It's fine. £40. He's given me the £40. It's still your book. And do you believe in power of prayer?
No.
Perfect. I'm going to give you a mantra. This is a beautiful mantra that it's meant to purify the heart. So I'm going to say it one time and you can repeat. Are you ready?
Yes.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama Rama.
Rama Rama.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare. Thanks for being so kind. I want to thank you for taking your valuable time. It's been an honor to meet you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. And now, also, I would take his information, like email address, so you can get on the list, and then you have a comprehensive follow-up system so that people could be brought in closer. Okay?
Okay.
Give him a hand. Okay, so now we have a organized system to bring everybody out to the square today, and we're going to hear about it from Chinese Thai Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
First, I'd like to thank Vaishyashi Guru for this ecstatic seminar. Whenever he was asking for reflections, all I could think of that you're an exalted personality sent from the spiritual world to inspire so many to follow Srila Prabhupada's order. So thank you very much, Vaishyashi Guru. And also thank you very much, Nicole Mati, for connecting so many people live on Facebook. And enthusiastically traveling around the world, this wonderful Grihastha couple is such a perfect example. So please, let us express our gratitude and appreciation by chanting.
Hariyo! Hariyo!
Is there a special education for K?
K!
Kazakhstan book distribution K!
K!
Okay, so now we're going to make a humble attempt to try to feed everyone so we can all honor Prasad because you've all been such good participants. We want to make sure that everyone is taken care of and looked after, so we're going to do that in this room. The way that we'll do that will have to be somewhat organized because there's not a lot of space, so we're going to make it happen. So we'll ask devotees to volunteer to help serve Prasadam. That's amazing to see. Can you please come every day? Okay, and there will be devotees to help clean up afterwards also. All the Welsh promontories. Okay, and then after that, the plan was 2 o'clock, or 1:45, but I doubt if prasad is going to happen in 15 minutes. So as soon as we finish prasad, anyway, we'll ask everyone to gather out front, and we're going to have Harinam. And that will take us to Leicester Square. Leicester Square will be a book table. Rishi Kapoor will also be joining us. And we'll separate out there once we get to do different activities and different programs. But the idea is that we're not going out to distribute books. We're going out simply to
touch the pavement.
Touch the tape, touch the floor, touch the pavement. And once you've done that, then you can all leave and go home, do whatever you like. But if you decide to stay, anything after that is just
extra.
Extra. Okay, so like that. So please join us for Harinam right after prasad.
I have a couple words about.
Please. Okay. And one last thing. Vaisheshika Guru's book, Our Family Business, is available here.
Yes, at the temple. After
prasadam, some books will be out front, so you can pick those up. Vaisheshika Guru will also be here with us again tomorrow evening after the Sunday feast. So if you're here, you can also get copies of them. I like that. Otherwise, back over to Vaisheshika Guru. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
When we're out together, be aware of the fact that there's a lot of us, and that it's ideal if we notice who's been already approached so that they don't get approached several times. So be aware of that. Another thing is, if you're watching somebody distribute, don't help them, because they have their own rhythm. One of the things that can happen is somebody's distributing and they're presenting in their own way, and then other people who are watching feel like helping, so they'll hand them a card, or they'll say, oh, by the way, this, that, and it interrupts the flow of the presentation. So just watch and listen, don't help anybody, and take it in, and you'll see that there's a method that's being presented at that time. Hare Krishna.
Hare Marman, Natari Marman, Natari Marman, Natari Marman, hey, Natari Marman, Natari Marman, Natari Marman, Natari Marman.